What's up, everybody? This is Jason Wolf, your one-man podcast. Howling with the Wolf is back because there is actually something to review. For fuck's sake, we actually have new programming. And guess what? Might as well talk some wrestling because Dark Side of the Ring Part 2 of Season 3 is back on TV. So let me tell you right off the bat, and this will be the soundbite that you guys aren't going to pay attention to, or at least the people that don't like me that want to use things against me, but you know what? Fuck them. You're going to be offended by this episode. Because like always, I'm going to stand up for the bad guy. These kids in this cancel culture bullshit that's going around these days wouldn't last 30 seconds if they could travel back in time to any of these eras. But to be fair, I don't think anybody can. I, being born in 79, couldn't live through the 50s. I mean, those were hardworking people. And you had to shave. And you had to have Brill Cream haircuts. And every generation probably couldn't live through their previous generations' maladies, ailments, and things that they've had to go through. I can't even imagine having to go through what my grandparents had to go through in, you know, covered wagons. I mean, we're only talking like the late 1800s to, I mean, my grandpa was born in 1898. My grandma was born in 1908. So when their parents had to come over in covered wagons and how their childhood was growing up in farms and things like that, like there's no way I could do that. There's no way even my mom or her siblings could have gone through that, and they went through some pretty tough times. So you're going to be offended by this because I'm going to stand up for all the people that people are complaining about. So if you're offended by anything, this is not the episode for you. I got drunk the other night. I know, big shock. No surprise there, I like to drink. The reason I like to drink is because it gives me the confidence and courage to talk to people. And as I'm finding out, it is necessary to be social. I had always been under the impression that I could live my entire life alone, away from people, in a dark, foreboding castle, surrounded by books, instruments, and my collections, and things like that. And I found out real quick during quarantine that I did not like that, that I did need some form, even if I was going to complain about it, I did need some form of human interaction, which I think is why I've always kept some sort of social type job, where at least it forces myself to go out a couple times a week and be around other humans. Because during that quarantine, it was so bad, I could barely even go to Walmart without getting in an argument or getting in a fight with somebody because I had almost become agoraphobic. But I could not leave my house. And it wasn't because I was scared of, you know, the coronavirus or anything like that. It was because I genuinely hated people so much, yet I had this need to want to interact. And something happened in the last even just 2 years since the pandemic's happened. I thought I didn't understand and get along with people from 5 years ago and could see the change coming. But boy almighty, just 2 years ago, the world has changed so much that I went from being the top of the food chain to the very bottom of the food chain. But that's a subject for a whole nother episode. You're probably going to be a little offended by this because, like I said, I've been a musician. I've been a touring personality. I have been to every state. I have been around porn stars. I have worked in the adult industry. I've worked for brothels and strip clubs. And I just understand how things are. I understand when someone uses the excuse, boys will be boys, or it's just locker room talk. Because I also know that there are such things as groupies, or in wrestling terms, ring rats, or just people that want to get an advancement in their own selfish goals of a career by taking an advantage of a celebrity, which is possible. The celebrity might think that they're grooming somebody, which is a word that's, you know, kind of been forgotten, but it was real big there about 2 years ago. The celebrity might think that they're having the upper hand when really the Renfield in this Dracula situation is the one that had the upper hand, because now 20, 30, 40 years later, we're sending Jimmy Snuka to prison before he dies. We're sending Bill Cosby to prison. We're sending Ron Jeremy to prison. We're trying to, you know, get Marilyn Manson in prison because of rape and all the weird shit that he ever actually told people he was into. But hey, guess what? That one got thrown out. So, hey, one for the bad guys, right? But like I started this part of the segment, I got drunk the other night and I'm scrolling through Twitter. And when I drink, I say the things that I want to say. And I generally say 90% of what's on my mind, but there's that 10% that I actually bite my tongue on. I really try and bite my tongue on racism, on politics, and sexual orientation, and sometimes religion, but not always. I'm usually pretty quick to point out how ridiculous organized religion is. So as I'm drunk and I'm scrolling through Twitter and Instagram, as a joke, somebody on their story posted, and I don't even know what this was in reference to, they posted a picture of the look that Booker T gave Hogan behind his back when he was welcomed back on Raw. You know, it's that real famous meme where he's just sitting there with that, "Tell me he didn't just say that. Tell me he did not, you did not just say that. Beep, I'm coming for you, Hogan." Yeah, you remember that one. I don't ever remember him having to issue an apology on that one. So see, we are going to get into this episode with that 10% that I usually bite my tongue on, because I think Booker T is a piece of shit. I hate him, and not in a hate crime way, and not in a I'm a white guy and he's a black guy racist kind of way, but he's a hypocritical piece of shit. I don't like that he keeps this thing going with Hogan. People make mistakes. Get over it. We've forgiven you for dropping the N-bomb on national TV. Hogan didn't even drop it on national TV. He was recorded in a private conversation in his own house saying it. And then he had to spend 10 years of his life making it up to people. But no, Big E can't let it go. I think Titus O'Neil actually did okay at letting it go and welcoming the Hulkster back. But fucking none of you young punks would be in wrestling today if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. Suck his dick and get over it. Oh my God. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but the N-word will send me into a flying nutcase rage. It's a word. Fuck. Nobody alive today has ever been a slave. None of your grandparents were even slaves. You say it more than we do. Cool, it's your word. Just like in Family Guy where they're like, "Scruffy nerf herder." Hey, that's our word. Well, that's true. That's fine. You go ahead and use your word. If somebody throws a hard R at the end of it, all right, now we're pointing it in your general direction. But, you know, and I've said this time and time again with Hogan, he has always hung out with black celebrities, and all of his friends are black. Hogan always seems to me to be the guy that tries to be cool in any given situation. So he's probably going to use their vernacular and the way that they're talking. And, I mean, I do it. When I'm around certain cultures of friends, my southern accent comes out. Or when I was hanging out with a Canadian band, everyone used to think I was Canadian because I just adapted to the language. So I grew up in a ghetto school district for my elementary school, and I got in trouble all the time for cussing and swearing and rapping because I was only one of three white kids in the entire grade school. I just would talk and act like the people that I'm around until I found my own identity. But even still today, I will fall back and I'll go back and, you know, if I'm around a certain crowd, I'll act a certain way. So the Hulk Hogan thing, just fucking get over it already. It's been 10 years. They kicked him out of the Hall of Fame. They took away his royalties. They took him out of video games and licensing. We all suffered for it. Now, every one of you is sucking his dick again. Every single one of you that were complaining that he used the N-bomb and said, oh no, he's the worst person on earth. I mean, you might as well kill the guy. That just like you people want Trump to die, just like you were excited and danced on Rush Limbaugh's grave, you stupid, imbecilic, cancel culture, pussified dipshits think you know what's best for people. But the minute, now 10, 12 years after that, oh my God, is the Survivor Series Elites out? I don't care if Hogan's face app from Mattel is all fucked up and he's cross-eyed. I can't wait to get that figure. They finally got the skin tone right. You hypocritical son of a bitch. Now you want a Hogan figure when you demonized him for 10 years and ruined his life because he said one word? Holy shit, you hypocritical bastards. See where we're going with this episode? I hope that this is in your earbuds. I hope that this isn't like playing in your truck and you're sitting there at a stoplight with your windows down enjoying the fall weather and all of a sudden someone pulls next to you and I'm this dude talking about these kind of things and you're like slowly sinking in your seat and rolling up the windows like, oh, this is a fucking commercial. And who the hell would talk about those things? So anyway, long segue. So I was drunk the other night, and I saw that meme of Booker T looking at Hulk Hogan the way he did. And like I say, I don't even know what it was responding to or the context, but it set me off. And I went on a holy terror. I started replying to absolutely everything on Twitter, and I was pissed off. I am sick of seeing that meme. I am sick of Twitter bringing it up. I am sick of everyone talking about it. Much like good old JR with only one eye working and half of his lip and everything, talking about the things that shouldn't happen on that goddamn plane. If I never have to see that thing again and never have to talk about it, it'd be the death of me. We need to take that dude off of visuals. I know he's the voice of a generation, but fuck's sake, JR, I can't even stand to look at you anymore. Now, let me take a deep breath for a second. I'm sick of people continually bringing up the things from the past where in yesteryear you would say you're acting like chicks, but we can't do that because half the chicks are dudes these days. And you don't let things go. Why do you have to keep bringing up harsh things? Why do you have to keep the argument going? Because you think it's cool. Yet, you're still going to go buy that Hulk Hogan figure. You're still going to buy the 2K21 when it comes out because Hogan's back in it. You're still going to get the Booker T figures. And then you're still going to realize that no matter what Booker T does in his lifetime, he will never, ever amount to what Hulk Hogan has done. You can go to any person of any walk of life, of any age group, and say those two names. Tell me which one they're going to know. Tell me he didn't just say that. I did. Nobody knows who the fuck Booker T is. In fact, if you said Booker T to half the population, they're like, and the MGs? That's right. Booker T and the MGs, just like Stevie Ray. Who's Stevie Ray? You mean Vaughn? Yeah. If you say Hulk, you're probably thinking the big green monster. But you say Hulk Hogan, you think WrestleMania 3, Andre the Giant. You think WrestleMania 6 with Ultimate Warrior. You think WrestleMania 5. With Macho Man, I mean, I could go down the list. You think the Bash at the Beach 97 or 96, whatever it was with the NWO turn. There are more. Give me one date, one single date from Booker T. I'll wait. Anybody? You might be thinking 2001. I think he had a world championship run. Maybe you could say like 2007 King Booga. I'm not racist against him. I hate the man personally. I wouldn't even care if he was black. The fact that he's a hypocritical son of a bitch that thinks he's the god of wrestling and gave us something and thinks he's even on the same level as Hulk Hogan pisses me off. It didn't stop there on that drunken night. Somebody, I believe it was the Young Bucks, posted a picture of a new shirt because, you know, they're the world famous t-shirt company that said the elite is complete. I opened my mouth and said, well, not really. No, it's not. You're missing one. And a lot of people did. But a lot of people are afraid to say Marty Scurll's name these days. Just like Joey Ryan. You all loved that dick flip. You all loved to hear the crows cawing and then go woot, woot. On Marty Scurll's entrance. Those two were the most over wrestlers in the wrestling industry, more so than John Cena. They sold more shirts and made more money. Maybe not than John Cena, but you get what I'm saying. The elite is complete. No, it's not. You're forgetting Marty Scurll. We all thought when we watched All In, the very first one, remember the dick parade? Remember Marty Scurll breaking the fingers and everyone would get all quiet and then he'd make the snap, little kayfabe snap, and you would think somebody just broke their finger in the mat. I mean, you loved that shtick. Some douchebag decided to reply to me, screenshotted the article where it says, ex-professional wrestler Marty Scurll accused of sexually harassing an underage female. And his reply was simple, and it just said, no, dot, 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 no, it's not. In reference to me saying, it's a shame you guys don't recognize Marty Scurll anymore. And he's like, no, no, it's not. My reply to him, having already been pissed off and going off on a rant on Instagram about Booker T, I waited a day before I replied to this guy. And I thought about it, and I just was going to let it go. But then I said, well, you know, I paraphrased, because you only get 120 characters or whatever it is. And I said, look, these were the two most over wrestlers in the world, and you all act like you never liked them, and that they're just the most terrible people in the world. And you confuse accused with convicted. To my knowledge, and somebody could prove me wrong, and it still won't change my opinion on the guy, Marty Scurll was always cool to me. He commissioned several things from me. Even for Major Pod, he commissioned a birthday commission where I made Zach as a Hasbro in the $1 million suit, the purple suit. I was the first one to do that. But did I get credit on the Major Pod? No, that's another reason why I hate Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, whatever the fuck he goes by these days. Because the guy's always been a douchebag to me. But Marty wasn't. Marty was always cool. He would always, you know, check up on me, ask what I'm collecting, if I got anything to trade. I drew a couple of pictures for him as his own retro and Hasbro figure, and he got me into Ring of Honor a couple of times free, you know, and then he paid for the commission for Zach, and then he also paid for the commission for Virtuosa. He was dating her at the time. And I did that, Diana Perazzo or whatever. Yeah, I think that's how you say her name. I had a custom of her as Virtuoso. Never got credit for any of that as far as the Major Pod was concerned. But Marty gave me tickets, was appreciative, and he paid for everything. He was a great guy. You can't tell me this guy isn't a good person. You can't convince me otherwise, because to me, I relate everything off of personal experience. And personally to me, Marty Scurll is an awesome guy. So when this guy says something, I'm bandwagon fan dicking this guy over because of a Me Too movement where some bitch claims now all of a sudden she didn't like what the guy did. not realizing that he was set up, that she was just a ring rat, and that he didn't know she was underage. When you're, I get that he was party Marty, probably did some things and was crazy. You egg up the gimmick when you are a celebrity, and that's just how things go. And you wouldn't put yourself in that position if you didn't want to be in that position. Now, I am not condoning rape. I am not condoning H-bombs, as now is going to be the term after watching that Dark Side of the Ring. But you wouldn't be a celebrity flight attendant if you didn't know there was going to be some shenanigans. Okay? You wouldn't be a wrestling photographer if you didn't expect the boys to rib you a little bit every now and then and just, you know, helicopter dick at you. Fuck it. I won't even say his name because God knows we don't need to, indict other people of stupid shit. But if you know me and know other stories and things, you'll know who I'm talking about. One of my exes, her sister dated a pretty well-known wrestler who was in a tag team. And when I would be away on the road or doing stuff, she would call me and say things, you know, like, I'm not really comfortable with what he's doing. He comes over, the sisters shared an apartment, and then he would come over to, you know, bang his girl, you know. And he would go into my girl's bedroom and unicorn her. You know what that is? Like, it's not a tea bag. But, like, you sit down on the forehead and, like, stick your dick on the forehead and go, ha ha, it's, you know, you're a unicorn. He would do that, or he would go, like, wiener, wake up, and wake him up. And then all of a sudden she'd open her eyes and it'd be like a dick slapping her in the nose. Like, that's just, it's funny. If I didn't know that guy, I would cut his dick off. But because I know there was no intention behind it, I was just like, it's just him. That's just what he does. I mean, he's a punker. He's living up the gimmick, and that really is who he is in real life. So we would have poker parties where me and the bands and then him and, some of his friends would come over. And then he's like, where's the bathroom? He'd go in, go to the bathroom, come back out. He's like, guys, I can't find the bathroom. And he'd be like pushing his dick on the screen door. And we're just like, ah, fuck, put that away, you know? Athletes are like that. I mean, they're constantly naked in the showers together. They constantly sweat and see each other and help shave each other's backs. Like, that's just what, that's the world. That's the world. And if you can't handle that, don't involve yourself in that world. So, you know, and I'm very controlling and very upset things if that were to happen to my girlfriend from somebody I didn't know. Like, I was dating someone completely unrelated to these stories, and she flew back home to D.C. and said that when she woke up, her skirt had been lifted a little bit, and she thinks that the guy next to her, while she was sleeping, may have lifted her skirt, tried to take a few pictures or get, you know, frisky or something under the jacket or whatnot. I was furious. I wanted to find the guy and maim him and, you know, take him in a back alley so that he never shows up and he's in pieces of dumpsters all over the town. But when you're one of the boys, it's just a rib. It's just a joke. That's just how it is. So I have no sympathy. She's like, yeah, I didn't really feel comfortable. I said, did you ever feel threatened? Did you ever think that he was going to hold you down and choke you like you like during sex anyway and ass rape you? Well, no, of course not, but I just don't want to have to wake up and see a dick in my face. Cool. Bitch, move in with me then. Problem solved. Take yourself out of that situation because you were living with your sister who had a professional wrestler as a boyfriend and you yourself was a ring rat and bringing dudes over that did the same thing to your sister. Now, all of a sudden that it's happening to you, it's not cool anymore. Fucking get over yourself. So back to the guy that said it's not cool that they... his reply to my thing saying, you know, I thought it wasn't cool they're not including Marty Scurll. And he's like, no, it's not. And they shouldn't include him because he's, and then, of course, he goes off name calling and all that shit. And with my reply to him being that, you know, you all liked him, you're all a bunch of hypocrites, and don't act like you didn't like the guy, his immediate response back to me was like, well, I'm sure there's videos of dick flips on YouTube you can watch if you really need to get yourself off. Oh, my God. Let me die laughing right here and right fucking now. Did you just make a barbaric gay joke in 2021? That shit's not even funny anymore. It wasn't back then either. But you know what? I would go back and I'd watch those clips again because you and everybody else, if you watched it, you would think that shit was funny too. Fucking stupid, man. Bandwagon fans. I remember being a fan of the Seahawks when I moved down to Nevada, and I still was a fan of the Seahawks. And then all of a sudden, they won a Super Bowl, and now everybody's a fan of the Seahawks. I'm like, hold up. Where the fuck were you when Bosworth and Largent were around? Well, that's fine. Whatever. So, here we are 25 minutes into an episode that I said was going to be a review of Dark Side of the Ring. All of those things are correlating to what I saw. And just giving you a little bit of an insight as to who I am and the stories that I've gone through that are similar to what you are going to hear my opinions on with this episode. So here's the thing. If you haven't seen the episode, go watch it right now. This is your spoiler alert warning. They're going to talk about the plane ride from hell. So I'll give you a few seconds to catch up, to hit that pause button, and to stop. Still here? All right, good. You may have heard the stories of the plane ride from hell, and I won't spoil the episode, but I have to talk about a few key points. The only thing that I've ever heard about this plane ride from hell was from a Bradshaw story. I heard Bradshaw was just the asshole, and I actually heard it was Bradshaw that cut off the ponytail of Michael Hayes. He was Doc Hendricks, I guess, at the time. He was balding, and he still tried to keep his Freebird ponytail, and it just, you know, it looked stupid. Or I think he... No, actually, I think 2001. I think he had just finished up his stint with the new brood with the Hardy Boys, where he was wearing, like, you know, he was like a fat guy in a skin-tight T-shirt, still trying to act like one of the pretty boys, and he still had his, like, balding skullet kind of long hair that I even had till about that same era when I realized it was time to cut it, but he didn't. So the boys were making fun of him for having this long hair. This is the only story I heard, is that they were on some flight, they always rib each other, and then shit got out of hand, and that's all I heard, was that someone cut off Michael Hayes' ponytail. That's not an interesting enough story to tell in 2021. Now, how I found out about this episode, I didn't even know that they were doing it. In fact, I was just about ready to cancel Philo, which is how I watch modern TV. And even that, they've taken things away. You know, half of it's on Discovery Plus. There literally is nothing to watch anymore. You know, when I was reviewing Paranormal Caught on Camera, that moved to Discovery Plus. They don't have new episodes of Ghost Adventures. There's just nothing to watch anymore. America is not producing anything, but I'm trying not to go off on a tangent on that. So somebody on Twitter pointed out Ric Flair was trending, and I was like, fuck, did he eat some other bitch out on the train, or what is their plane this time? And they're talking about something Ric Flair did, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, so? It's fucking Ric Flair. Who cares? You know, even before I get into that Ric Flair story, I got to go back to Joey Ryan. How in the world would someone that pretends to look and act and be a part of an adult industry where men and women wrestlers both grab this guy's junk and did the dick flip? In fact, even my ex's sister's now husband that I just referenced earlier has done the dick flip. It was his hand on there, and then him and a line of dudes all did the dick flip. I mean, it was hilarious to watch. And people are surprised when that guy turns out to be a womanizer, or that maybe he kept the gimmick going, or, he kept the gimmick on, he didn't turn it off. People are surprised by that, and that some things may have been inappropriate. Don't hang around Joey Ryan if you're scared that you're going to have to touch a dick. Don't date Marilyn Manson if you don't think you're going to be tied up and sacrificed for a satanic ritual and raped. Don't put yourself in these situations. What do people do? They clap to emphasize things these days. Don't put yourself in situations that are dangerous. My mama always said, don't walk down a dark alley. Keep your hands in your pockets in the toy store. Don't touch nothing. Don't be a bull in a china shop. Don't break nothing in a pawn shop. And just keep your wits about you at all times. But no, people act like they're wrapped in cellophane and bubble wrap and packing material, but they don't. They run directly into freeway traffic, blindfolded, doing twirlies, cartwheels, curly cues, and everything else, and then they blame the car that hits them. Even though they were the ones doing outlandish shit and putting themselves in harm's way. Holy hell. So right off the bat, when I see cancel culture coming out of the woodworks and Twitter is blasting Ric Flair, I responded to a tweet and I said, I don't care. You could tell me at this point in his life that Ric Flair raped Jesus in the manger, and I'd be like, so? It's Ric Flair. That's what he does. At what point in your pathetic life did you ever think that the Four Horsemen stories were fake? Even if they were so good at storytelling that they made you believe that they were all millionaires, that they were the jet flying, limousine riding women and dining son of bitches that they were. It's so bad that even when a old guy with bleach blonde hair goes down on some chick on a train, everyone just automatically assumes it's Ric Flair. And then Twitter's like, oh God, I hope his wife doesn't see this. And they're actually hoping for this. They're hoping his wife is going to see this. And I hope that is his wife. And I hope she has that tattoo because she's going to divorce him, and oh my God, this will be his 17th marriage. He's had more marriages than world championships or whatever the fuck. And not one person questioned if it even was Ric Flair. And he said, I have no knowledge of that. I don't remember doing that. But at the same time that picture came out, 80% of the people thought it was hilarious. They thought that was fucking awesome because that's who Ric Flair is. Jeez. So you watch this episode, and apparently the big story, which I used to like Dark Side of the Ring because they would sort of be non-biased, but now it seems like they're gaining momentum. It's like they're trying to start shit. And even in the preview episode, Chris Jericho kind of hangs his head and is like, you know, we just have to warn you, some of the episodes are gonna kind of put this fandom that you love of professional wrestling in a bad light. You're gonna see how the boys really are. And he's not making an excuse for it. I'm sure he's done similar things. I mean, he's a rock star and was a good-looking cruiserweight, moved on to being a world champion, and now he's like, what's the opposite of a MILF? He's a DILF? Is that what, you know, or is that not PC anymore? I don't know. I'm so fucking out of touch. Anyway, by the way, your hair looks great, Chris. Man, that's another good dude. I don't care what the fuck Chris Jericho has ever done in his entire life. The fact that he's retweeted my artwork and said nice things, just means the world to me, and I don't give a shit what he's done because he's been nice to me. So the story goes that, and you watch Mike, you got to watch, there's two sides to this. There's Mike Chioda and Jim Ross. Those are the two you got to pay attention to. Mike Chioda was a referee, and Jim Ross, obviously VP of Talent Relations, and he was basically the manager that did all the work that Vince McMahon didn't have to do. That's what he paid him for. He even admits to that. So when Mike Chioda tells the story, he's laughing. He's talking about the drugs they were doing and the alcohol and boys will be boys. And this is just how awesome life was in the 80s and 90s. And even though this happened in, you know, the early 2000s, right, the budding part of the internet becoming insanely popular, now you watch Jim Ross recount the story. Really hard to look at that man's face and catch an emotion, but it looked like he was sad about it. I mean, he always looks sad, but it seems a little more droopier, which I'm going to assume is sadder than normal. Mike Chioda had a good old damn time. And even when you watch that A&E documentary where they're trying to find the black butterfly robe, everyone's talking about the party Ric Flair. And even when they got the robe from Little Nate, that he, I'm still mad about that one, where they took away his prized possession that he wanted to be buried in just so some collector fan could have it and then still price gouge everybody for $15,000 on top of the trades and everything else. Just, it was fucking ridiculous. Little Nate even recounts the stories, and Ric Flair admits to being naked in these robes, and he's like, I can't say their names, but there have been some women in this robe. I mean, we've all seen the picture of Sherry in the black butterfly robe. Sherry Martel, scary Sherry, sensational Sherry, hottest woman on the planet next to Elvira. So it's no surprise when somebody says Ric Flair likes to get naked and prance around and do the big reveal in his robe. If I was a wrestler, I would think that was hysterical. There's been antics on the tour buses I've been on and backstage, even with female lead singers. I've been more sexually harassed by my female lead singers than any of the guys that did harassing two female lead singers. I'll put it that way. I had one that every time we'd go backstage, she would like grab my ass, or she'd even on stage sometimes she'd reach behind the guitar and act like she was rubbing my cock so that the fans and people in the audience would go, oh my God, what kind of relationship do they have? It was just fun. We put on a show for the crowd. But the bitch was actually like moose knuckling me and grabbing the goods. Like she was, you know, and then we go backstage and she's like, do these look hard enough for me? Do you think they're poking through? And she'd expose herself. For some reason, it's okay for women to do that, but it's not okay for guys to do that. You know, there was a short story where Terry Reynolds is like, oh, I walked by the locker room and Brock Lesnar exposed himself. And I was just told to no sell it because that's the only way you can get by. Boys will be boys. Okay, just like Randy being possessive of Elizabeth, now we know why, is because everyone probably wanted to show him their beefcake, pun intended. So it's no surprise to me when somebody comes up with a Ric Flair story and says, Ric Flair got drunk and exposed himself. Well, now Dark Side of the Ring, gaining momentum, is trying to create buzzworthy stories so that they can get deeper involved into better stories and further their careers. That's what happens with these people that come out 50 years later saying Bill Cosby roofied them. They either ran out of money, need more fame, or now that Twitter and the Me Too movement is going around, they want attention for something that happened in the past. So now, 20 years after the fact, this, what do you call them? Flight attendant? Is that the term these days? Are you allowed to call them that? That's what they were back then. She's complaining about what happened on the plane, and now everyone's up in arms over Ric Flair and Scott Hall and what they did. Ric Flair apparently did his robe trick. Everyone admitted, you know what I got from this episode? Is everyone admitted and agreed that Ric Flair is well endowed and he could helicopter his penis. That's talent. That's what I got out of the episode. So apparently he walked down that aisle of the airplane. I'm doing the strut right now as I'm standing doing the podcast. And he exposed himself, stuck it out there, wiggled his hips, and started helicoptering his dick. And I guess she wasn't used to that, even though this is a private charter, high executive, high class sports team situation plane. And she said she's, you know, had like the Phoenix Suns and the Mariners and some blah blah blah, blah, who cares, you know, whatever. And I guess the culmination of that is it just kept going. He sort of cornered her, and then her words were that he grabbed her hand, put it on his junk, and was sort of trying to insinuate, and she never said that she felt that he was going to rape her, but sort of he was really putting the moves on, like, hey, you know you want some of the Nature Boy. And I could see the Nature Boy doing that, because that's just how you were, especially given his age. Even then, he was, God, he had to be 50-something back then. He was still in his prime. I could see him still thinking that this is perfectly acceptable, because that's how he acted in the late 70s and the early 80s, where you could sort of just kind of, hey, baby, you know you want some of this, and kind of corner him a little bit, give him a little smooch, start rubbing up against him, and then they'd get into it, and then, you know, next thing you know, you're banging in the parking lot with the back of one of his limos or something. Now that's rape. I mean, you can't flirt anymore. At all, because everything is rape. That's the buzzwords. Buzzwords of the 21st century are the two R words, rape and racist. That's the only thing people can pronounce. They don't know how to spell prejudice, so they can't say that. And they don't know what flirting is anymore. They just assume it's rape. So much so that they had to cancel poor Pepe Le Pew just because he sought after one woman and constantly tried to kiss her. She was playing hard to get. Have you heard that phrase? Because that actually was a thing. Women think they control the world through their vagina and put men through hell because they want to be chased. They want to be advanced upon. And then if you can tell that she doesn't, that's when you back off. But that's what we were, here's the word, groomed to do. You watch Mad Men, and that's exactly how the world was. Mad Men was our parents. They instilled that into us so that all of us through the 80s and 90s, until the AIDS movement and sexual harassment movement came around and stopped all of that, flirting was just a fun thing to do. So I could see Ric Flair just thinking, as drunk as he was, that this would be whatever. Now, she also admitted that she went up to Scott Hall. And you got to understand, these guys are all well over 6 feet tall. They're professional fighters and shooters, even though it is a scripted win. These guys really can kick ass. They are weightlifters, and they probably know how to get themselves out of situations, and they sure as shit know how to bar fight. If somebody H-bombed, which whatever that drug was they kept mentioning, which is like a roofie, I guess, where they would just pass out. And she was probably real irritated by the 19 events that happened before that, walked up to Scott Hall to wake him up, and he snaps out of a deep slumber. And this is during his time with drugs and alcoholism, and everything was real prevalent with him, and he had some real bad demons. He reaches up and grabs her real quick out of a stupor, sees that her shirt or blouse had been opened a little bit, and first words out of his mouth, half asleep, drunk, drugged up and everything, was, yo, I'm gonna lick those, or something like that. And then he couldn't even get close enough to her, I mean, this whole thing happened probably in 2 seconds, and he probably thought he was dreaming, and he passed out again. But the way she tells the story makes it seem like this was 10 minutes of her life where she was fighting. And the same thing with Ric Flair. They were back there for hours, apparently. That's not what she said, but the way she tells the story, it makes you think that this 60-second part of her life just absolutely ruined it. Bitch, you took a payout. Shut the fuck up. Now, this is something else. And this is something that a lot of people are going to agree with. We all watch mafia movies. We all watch and know about kayfabe. David Schultz slapping the shit out of that reporter. Vader slapping the shit out of that guy in Saudi Arabia or Iraq or whatever that was. No, it was Egypt, I think. You had to prove and live the gimmick. You had to prove that this was real. So if somebody ever said that it was fake, just like, you know, it's the F word of the wrestling industry, they would have to prove you wrong. So I can understand living the gimmick, but again, don't put yourself in that situation if you can't handle it. Now, from what this lady was saying, even though she took the payout, she called her boss and her employers, and they told her the same thing. And they said, look, if you don't wish to be on these flights, we can move you to another flight. But given that these are high-end celebrities paying a lot of money, you just have to assume that these are the types of things that are going to happen and that it's going to get out of control. And you just have to keep yourself as safe as possible. She wasn't raped. She wasn't beat up. She probably made a shit ton of money, maybe tips, got paid a good amount of money even before she filed a suit. And then once the suit from the other lady came through and she sort of joined in, they quickly paid her off. That's the way things worked. You know the old saying where they're like, you know, snitches get stitches, and you don't rat out the mafia because you'll end up in the gutter. Those things still happen. They just don't talk about it. Now, Jim Ross, the other end of the perspective, actually uses mafia terminology when he's talking about Ric Flair. Because of what happened, they had to make some very tough decisions. They fired Mr. Perfect, and he died like a year or two later. They fired Scott Hall, told him to fix his demons. This is right after NWO came back and Vince bought WCW. And, you know, they were all together on the plane from three different... I mean, it was a party. These guys finally could break the fourth wall and get together as one company. And they were just having a good old time, living off a high of one of the biggest events. I guess the UK events were grander than WrestleMania-sized events because of the amount of people that would show up. So everyone was just in a real good mood. And you know what? I'm sorry. just like the hookers at the Bunny Ranch, when they would complain that Dennis would grab their tit or, you know, finger them or do something like that. Don't sit on his lap and rub his cock. You let him on. You're also a hooker. And all you were doing is running a commercial for someone seeing what Dennis is doing and wanting to pay for it. He knew what he was doing. The man was a genius. But now, 20 years later, this stewardess decides she can finally tell her story, confide in her daughter what happened. Her husband was real big on it, apparently, and she even admitted that he loved the money. But now she feels it's time that even if it helps one single person to realize that what they may have done in the past was wrong, or somebody who has been wrong to speak out, it was well worth it. Bitch, you're destroying a career. You're destroying a legacy, and you're destroying the money. Now, hang on. Someone out there is going, now hold up, Wolf. You're telling me you can get away with bad things? No, you can't get away with raping somebody. You can't get away with killing somebody. But you know what? Gene Simmons said it best. You don't become a rock star if your number one goal isn't money and pussy. And look at Motley Crue. I mean, they lived sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Every time I hear of a story of somebody canceling cancel culture, or someone in cancel culture trying to cancel somebody, whatever the fuck I'm trying to say, I always think of Motley Crue, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, have you people never heard of Motley Crue? Did you not watch The Dirt? You know that's not fiction, right? You know those things actually happened? Why are they not going after Motley Crue? And you could, I mean, seriously, just a little side segue on everything. You pious sons of bitches and your politics and all your bullshit that's going on with COVID and supporting Newsom and Biden and all these Democrats who are running the country in a Marxist, fascist, Nazi sort of way are the biggest hypocritical people I think I've ever seen, because every single one of those people have done these things to get into the position of power that they're in. Even George Bush being a part of Skull and Bones. I've been there, by the way. It's kind of cool. I got confronted by somebody for trying to break in the building, which was really creepy. It's a story for another time. But you don't want to become a celebrity to be a fucking philanthropist and give your money away. No! You want to be a part of the New World Order, the actual one, not the NWO from WWE or WCW. You want to be a part of, what's the all-seeing eye, not the Masons, what am I trying to say, you know, like, the Illuminati. You want to be a part of the Illuminati. You want to work your way up. When you become a celebrity or a rich person or something like that, there are at least, I would dare say, 85% of the people that want to become influencers, celebrities, and millionaires, and even billionaires, that have that intention in mind where they want to see what they can get away with. Don't believe me? Look up the dark web. Look up people that can afford to watch somebody get murdered or a bum get stripped of their skin. Or, I mean, Red Room is real. These shows of, you know, the rich people getting in a gala and having all these torturous things and torture porn. And, I mean, snuff and smut have been around forever. And you know who's doing it? The people that can afford it. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. But these celebrities that you're supporting, these politicians that you're supporting, have all done these things. It's just cool right now to demonize masculinity. So they're going to go after masculine cultural icons. That's why Ron Jeremy's still in prison. God love him. Guy's a stinky invalid. He never meant to harm anyone in his entire life. He just was a fat, kind of ugly looking Jew that just ended up with a big dick. And he kind of lived the life. And I watched girls try and take advantage of him to boost their careers. And once they realized that his dick was spongy and possibly that he had herpes, now all of a sudden now they're like, well, shit, I didn't know what I was getting into. Yeah, you did. It's Ron fucking Jeremy. God, we used to watch Discovery Channel and talk about Shark Week. I miss the dude. I really do. But no, he's a supposedly white male that took advantage of women, and now he's in prison for being the person that you all paid for to watch in porn. That's like saying, I almost said the T word, but you know, that just like sets flaming fiery assholes into the skyrocketing, if I say that. It's like saying Biden became president, I want repercussions because he became president. Well, that was his job. Why are you surprised that he became president when he's a career politician and the mannequin that Obama's running behind the scenes there? I mean, he actually admitted to that the other day. That was kind of funny, where Obama did an interview, I guess, in after his term, where he's like, you know, it'd be fun. I know I can't run a third and fourth term, but it would be kind of fun to actually have somebody as a figurehead that I can control from behind the scenes, sort of puppeteer. It's true. Look it up. It's a real interview. So anyway, going to take a breath, catch my thoughts, and we'll wrap this up with some final thoughts. When we're talking about what happened to these wrestlers to save face, somebody accuses Enzo of being inappropriate with a girl. I don't remember. Was it rape? I think it was rape. And WWE fires him without even getting the truth. Because it ended up not actually happening. I'd be vindictive as hell if that ever happened to me. I'll tell you that much right now. But one of the most over guys there is. And that's why they do this. Do you guys not see the fucking pattern? They pick the two most over people, Marty Scurll and Joey Ryan, to destroy their careers because they're jealous of what they become. They know damn good and well that if they were in the same position, that they wouldn't slap an ass and go, here's $100, shut the fuck up, babe. They know they would do that. The women would do that. Women take advantage of guys all the time. I mean, I had a whole fucking episode just total women bashing. I'll have an episode on guy bashing too, because I think guys are absolutely ridiculous, and there actually is toxic masculinity, but it has nothing to do with the average dude trying to date. Toxic masculinity are these assholes that go to the bar that go Raiders to try and get in a fight with the Ravens dude because he's wearing the alternate team's jersey. Like, fucking grow up, dude. That's toxic masculinity. Tapping each other in the balls just because you know it hurts because you did it first. That's toxic masculinity. Telling a man that he can't cry, that he needs to man up, is toxic masculinity. Not a dude trying to play a funny joke so all the boys will laugh, just kind of walking around and showing off his dick when that's exactly what the guy's known for. That's not toxic masculinity. They were just having fun. So Jim Ross, as he's firing these people so that the company's save face and they're trying to make it look good because somebody has to take the fall, it's not obviously Vince or the WWE, they have to fire someone to make good on it. So they get rid of Scott Hall, they get rid of, they tell Goldust that he can't spit no more. And JR never really concluded to say that he fired him or not. I think he just fined him. But then they, they fired Kurt Hennig and he died a couple months later. Nothing happened to Brock Lesnar. I guess X-Pac was the actual one to cut off Michael P.S. Hayes' hair, and I didn't hear that anything happened with him. I didn't hear anything happened to Michael P.S. Hayes, even though he's the one that busted open Bradshaw to get them to start fighting in the first place. And then the interviewer asks, well, what happened to Ric Flair? And you could see, if JR could look off camera as if Ric Flair himself was standing there, that he couldn't talk, that he couldn't say. But he did admit one thing. He said, well, Ric Flair's kind of a made man. That's mafia terminology. That means you can get away with murder. Literally. I believe Ric Flair and McMahon probably are that type, where they literally can get away with murder and nobody would ever be the wiser and nobody would ever say boo. So I'm going to be real curious. Every single time an accusation has come up against Scott Hall, he's gotten out of it because he got to claim that he was drunk and an alcoholic. Every time something's come up with Ric Flair, he says the same response every time. I have no recollection of it. Well, of course not. You were drunk as fuck. Probably did happen, but it's not as blown out of proportion as these people trying to get money from you are saying that it is. So, did it happen? Yeah, I'm sure it did. Here's a part of the story that you should probably pay attention to. She said there were other stewardesses, connotating that they were all female, on that plane. And that they were working the front half of the plane, where the executives, McMahon, JR, you know, all those guys. This lady that's having this big of issues and this many problems, you're telling me she couldn't go to one of her other coworkers and say, I'm just not feeling comfortable right now. Can you swap out with me? You know she had the opportunity to get herself out of that situation. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I believe Dark Side of the Ring probably goaded her into telling her story because it was, a story worthy of telling. But the way they're doing it is to demonize Ric Flair as the person he always said that he was to begin with. So Twitter is already saying, well, he's not going to AEW now. There goes my figures. Oh, I guess this is the last Ultimate Edition we're going to get of Ric Flair. Boy, did he leave WWE at the wrong time. Holy shit, that picture of him and Sting will be the last picture we see of Ric Flair. Oh, God, he's... You know what? Honestly, he's probably going to die in 2 years now, just like Mr. Perfect did. He, Mr. Perfect was one of the classic ribbers. Maybe you think, God, would Vince murder somebody? Would the WWE get rid of... Are they really made men? All sorts of things could be running through your mind. I don't know. I don't know what to think. But honestly, with the way they handled Sammy Guevara, Well, are they going to send a 70-year-old man to sensitivity training? I mean, come on. Ric Flair's got more than enough money from his daughter's legacy and from Conrad's legacy that he doesn't even have to work anymore. But he's already on, what, car commercials now. When he left WWE, he's doing his goodbye tour right now. I don't think anyone thought that he was going to AEW so that he could wrestle one more match with Sting, because nobody wants to see a bunch of senior citizens wrestle it out in the middle of the ring and possibly kill themselves. Unless it's Terry Funk, because Terry Funk could be 90 years old and still kick everybody's ass. But I don't see any repercussions coming from this. If anything, he may just not have a major active role or not go to AEW as is rumored. And he might just go off quietly into the sunset. But I'd like to remind everybody of a meme that I saw on Facebook. It's very poignant. And I'll end with this. You can block me. You can unfriend me. You can delete me. And you can break up with me, but you can never unsuck my dick. It was a meme, regards to a relationship. Or sometimes it's been changed, you know, because everyone copies each other, where it says, you can never unlick my butthole. No matter what happens to Ric Flair, Joey Ryan, Marty Scurll, Enzo, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair is still going to be 16-time world champion, one of the greatest wrestlers on the face of God's green earth, a kiss-stealing, which I guess is rape these days, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying son of a bitch. You can never take that away from him. So go ahead and cancel him, Twitter. The man lived life exactly the way that he wanted to. And by God, I'm glad he did. God love Ric Flair.